Welcome back, everybody, to this very special episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. My name is Wrestling Chris G, and on the other line with me today, he is the lost boy of the podcast. It's good old Dougie Fresh. Dougie man, how you doing?
I wish I could be like this episode and stay lost.
So today's episode is the very first banned episode before it was done, kind of done over and made kid-friendly for us here in the States. But this episode is Beauty and the Beach, or translated from Japanese, Holiday at Aopoko. I'm not going to say that right. So, yeah. But it's Beauty and the Beach. And there's a lot of reasons why this episode got banned.
It's just, it was banned because of a certain scene that they could have easily cut and nobody would have been any the wiser. But it's just a dull episode.
It's just, I don't know. It's a weird episode. And I mean, we'll get into why the episode was banned. So it was banned for a really dumb reason, as you were saying. So this
are prudes, I'm learning, since watching the damn thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so stupid, but it's not. I mean, maybe I wouldn't want to see it when I'm eating my cereal at 6:30 in the morning. But...
Well, let me just put it this way. I was watching the episode. I actually just finished watching the episode with my son. And my son was like, oh, well, hold on. So this episode aired July 29th, 1997 in Japan, and here in the States, June 24th, 2000. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. The last episode aired September 30th of 1998. Yeah, you're right. It took them over 2 years to get this episode out. So
ridiculous.
I know.
Ridiculous.
Just to cut a couple scenes. And it was only two scenes. But so my son was watching this episode and he's like, James is a girl? And I was like, no. He put on a Halloween costume and people got all up in arms. And he's like, but he had these. And then he pointed to his chest. And I was like, yes. So you know how it's almost Halloween? Well, as you're listening to this, we're recording this on October 6th. So you're hearing this way in the future. But he's like, I told him, I was like, you know how Halloween is coming up? I was like, he went to the Halloween store, found an outfit, and it's called cosplay. So he's pretending to be a girl. He's like, oh, okay. And then it was done. He didn't question. He didn't raise another eyebrow, even though he's been working on his rock impression with the eyebrow and trying to do it. And then he's also been working on his Undertaker eye rolling to the back and has failed. But
he can't do that.
He's trying. Oh, I can do it.
I know you can. Seen you fucking do it. It's fucking creepy.
I know. But yeah, this episode was banned because they gave James fake boobs in this episode. And criticized a 10-year-old for being flat-chested.
Well, and really, she should have just been drinking more milk. I mean, that's...
I mean, yeah, but I don't know. I mean, this episode, it's weird. I mean, you have that. You have a old man basically checking out a 10-year-old girl. It's a very, very weird and awkward episode.
There's a lot not to like.
There's a whole lot not to like. And we will get into that part of the episode in just a moment when we start reviewing it. But as you know, everybody, I mean, this is a special episode, but we're not going to break our tradition. We are still going to do the On This Day in History. So, Dougie Fresh, you have yours. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the go. And we're going with June 24th. So, Dougie Fresh, take it away, my man.
On June 24th, 1916, actress Mary Pickford becomes the first female film star to sign a $1 million contract.
Really? That in that time frame?
Yeah, think about $1 million in 1960.
That is, I mean, you would have to like be like a billionaire at that point. I mean, that's how far the dollar would stretch back then.
And I mean, I, you know, hands up, I'm not familiar with Mary Pickford. I did a very, very quick Google once I landed on this one being the one I wanted to do. I did a very quick Google. I was watching one of the last ball games of the night. And if, you know, just looking at her filmography, she was cranking them out like every couple of months. I mean, it's not like now where The Rock signs a movie deal and he's, you know, got a movie every, what, 2 years, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, she's cranking them out. She's like from June or from July to September, she's like cranked out 2 movies. And, you know, she's got a bunch of stuff named after her. She was big in the formation of the Academy, you know, which gives us the Oscars. I mean, you know, I'm not doing her any justice. It's just, I see her signing $1 million contract in 1916. I'm going to stop because, I mean, that's $1 million. $1 million now is a lot of money.
Yes.
It's like $1 million in 1916. She probably could have bought a couple countries.
She probably did. And we just don't even know it.
And we don't even know about it.
All right. Well, thank you, Doug, for that informative information.
That's repetitive.
Yeah, it is. Very repetitive.
And I wasn't going to say anything, but I, you know, that's repetitive.
But for mine, mine is kind of short and sweet and to the point. Just so we can get into this episode and review it and get out. But on this day in 2006, Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest premiered at Disneyland and became the fastest film to gross over $1 billion globally. Whoa.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of fucking money.
A lot of money.
Like, even if I can just get a pinch of that, that I'd be done. I mean, I wouldn't ever have to work again after being in this movie. Like, you had Orlando Bloom, Johnny Depp, and Keira Knightley all just, they got fuck you money from this movie.
Yeah, and some would probably argue that Johnny Depp really hasn't worked since the Pirates movies.
He hasn't really. Has he?
Well, I mean, that was kind of a joke of, have you seen his movies lately? He's kind of sleepwalking through them, but I would have to check his wiki, honestly.
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually pretty curious.
I'm curious now that I've said something.
Why'd you go and open that Pandora's box?
Yeah, I'm just trying to extend the episode, because ain't shit otherwise.
I know. But,
Mister, we have to do the band episodes.
He has done... He had 1, 2, 3, 4. He had 4 movies in 2017. He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 movies in 2018. He had 1 movie last year, 1 movie this year, and he'll have 1 next year.
Hopefully.
But all right. So you ready to jump on into this episode? I'm officially call this the cursed episode, because I'm gonna peel the curtain back just a little bit, Doug, and I don't think the
don't
universe
do it.
Wants to...
Don't do it, because if you do it, I told you I'm going to go off on one, and we don't have that kind of time, especially now.
All right. Yeah, we've already lost about 25 minutes into this recording so far. So, all right. So, this episode is called Beauty and the Beach. And, Doug, this episode literally starts at the end of the last episode, Island of the Giant Pokemon, where Ash, Misty, Brock, and Pikachu arrive at the beach, and they're running, and well, Brock and Pikachu and Ash are running and jumping into the water to start their little vacation.
Yeah, this really could have been the last part of a four-parter. You know, I think we talked last week about how Island of the Giant Pokemon was the unofficial part three to the shipwreck and battle on the St. Anne stuff. Because it does pick right back up. And I mean, even next week, you know, there's, you know, a little bit of spoilers. They're still on the dock at Porto Vista because they missed the ferry off.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, this episode, when it starts off, I mean, you already have you already get the vibe that this is about to be a different episode.
Right.
Because I'm just going to paint a little bit of pictures, but you don't normally see cleavage and stuff in Pokemon for obvious reasons. I mean, it's a kid's show, but the opening scene is it's showing a bunch of people at the beach. It's showing a bunch of sexy, like women, buff men, and then all of a sudden you see Brock, Misty. I mean Brock, Ash, and Pikachu just jumping into the water.
Yeah, they the animators had a heck of a time drawing these beach scenes with these extras.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they did it on purpose. Like they're like, whoa, so we're gonna be at the beach. So we finally get to show half naked people on this kids TV show. We get to do what we really want
to
do.
And then they had to have an HR meeting because that's inappropriate and it's a kids show. And
yeah, but But yeah, Ash and Brock and Pikachu jump into the water, and Pikachu is looking all sorts of cute in its little blow-up floaty, just paddling in the water. I don't know about you, but if I'm at the beach and I see a fucking Pikachu in the water, like, paddling, I'm going to be scared shitless.
No, not a Pikachu.
An electric Pokemon in water?
No, but not Pikachu, for goodness sake.
Why?
Because it's a freaking little mouse, man.
That has electricity in it.
It's a little, ain't gonna do nothing to nobody if you don't poke it.
But if Pikachu happens to get sick or just goes, achoo! And then a little spark of electricity comes out, it can kill everybody in the
world. Ain't gonna kill anybody. Paranoia.
So, but, after this, after the opening with Brock and Ash being in the water, you hear Misty in the background, and she catches up with the gang, and she's like, oh, I thought you guys were going to wait for me at the sports bar. And then we get the first awkwardness of the episode, Doug.
Yeah, because this is the exact moment when they realize Misty was a girl.
Yeah, we get the awkward pan of starting at Misty's feet. I feel like they kind of was trying to sexualize her in a way, because they start at her feet and the camera pans up and there's Misty in a two-piece bikini holding a master ball, beach ball, and ready to jump into the water and just have a grand old time. And then you have Ash and Brock kind of smitten, and I kind of get the feeling that they were checking her out, and it kind of creeped me out with Brock, like knowing that Brock is 15, looking at this 10-year-old.
Yeah, and this is where, kind of reading too much into Pokemon is not fun. Because, you know, like, it's established in the show, like, and it's said outright that Ash is 10.
Yes.
So, and, you know, even though it's 2 10-year-olds, it's still creepy because Ash doesn't know what to do with himself. You know, you know, Misty's out there just trying to have a day at the beach. You know, Ash is awkward just for Ash's sake. But then, yeah, you're kind of right. You got Brock kind of sitting there kind of leering at her a little bit. And it's like he's 15. He essentially had to raise his brothers and sisters. He should know better.
He knows how babies are born.
I wasn't trying to go there.
Did you not know where babies came from when you were 15 years old?
Well, but that's not the issue. I just wasn't trying to go there in particular.
But yeah, it's a little weird, but panning away from that part of the episode, Misty's like, why are you two staring at me like that? And Ash right on out goes, it's just weird to see you actually looking like a girl. I mean, not given that she's in a crop top and like booty shorts, like the entire season of Pokemon, but Misty just gets all sorts of pissed off. And how hard is this Master Ball beach ball? Because she takes that beach ball and blasts Ash in the face. And when she blasts him in the face, he goes back and just like gets knocked in the water and acts like he's drowning.
Yeah, I mean, he's out, man. I mean,
yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like she overinflated it. I feel like she knew. She's like, one of them is going to be a creep.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to take things into my own hands.
Like, if they give me the wrong look, I swear to God. Well, she didn't hit Brock. We go straight from that to Jesse and James. They are in a Gyarados. What would you call this thing? Like a Gyarados submarine?
'Tis a submarine, my boy.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So it's a Gyarados submarine, and they're looking in the water, basically looking at all the trainers, trying to scheme their way into stealing all these Pokemon from the people that are at the beach.
So they were going for Pokemon. They weren't going for money.
Yeah. So, it looks like, I'm listening to it right now. Okay. Yeah, it was money, but. Later in the episode, they go after Pokemon. But yeah, right now, they're looking for loose change, and James makes the snippet that once they get all the money, they'll be living up in the riches and and getting all the money.
Yeah, and, but as he says that, he's laying on a pile of Pokemon, isn't he? Yeah. No, that's a different scene. That's a different episode.
So. It's at this moment we basically go to a scene, and I don't know how the hell we go from that to this, but the next scene is Ash, Misty, Brock, and Pikachu are on a speedboat. First off, who turned on the speedboat, Doug?
Well, where did the speedboat even come from? It's not even...
We don't know.
Like, I mean, we talked in the intro about how they could have cut a couple of scenes and just aired this like normal. I feel like they cut a scene that didn't need to be cut, and they still got in trouble. Because, like,
they could have aired this episode as like a 10-15 minute short episode. And I will break it down at the very end because I don't want to give out any spoilers yet since we are reviewing it. But there's basically 3 or 4 main things that they could have done, made this thing a 10-minute thing and tacked it on to the start of a Pokemon movie and like at the start of the DVD and said, here's a special Pokemon scene or whatnot, or a special 10-minute Pokemon special.
And just moved on to Tentacle and Tentacruel.
Yeah. Because, I mean, honestly, they didn't need this episode, and we'll get into that again later on in the episode. But we go straight from the Team Rocket scene to where Ash, Misty, and Brock and Pikachu are on a boat. They're on a speedboat, and we don't know where this speedboat came from, but Misty's like, oh, this speedboat is nice. And Ash is like, yeah. Brock must know some people in pretty high places that have a lot of money. And Brock is like, wait a minute. I was just following Pikachu onto this speedboat. And Ash is like, well, I was following you. So whose speedboat is this? And then they all freak out. They lose control of the boat. They crash into Team Rocket and have Team Rocket go and crash onto the sand. And then they go and crash onto the dock that's right next to them. And then we get the scene of the grumpy old man.
Yeah, and he comes up and he's he's full of piss and vinegar. You know, you wrecked my dock. Why'd you wreck my dock? What are you doing? And, you know, Ash is kind of a chicken shit here. And he's like, well, hold on there, fella. And he pushes Misty in front. And the damn old man stops in his tracks. And he's like, you remind me of my granddaughter. And I'm going, well, that's creepy on about 30 different levels.
Yeah, because he's looking at Misty. And Misty is just like, she immediately starts getting creeped out by this guy. Because this dude is, he has the, and you can't hide. And I know what the writers were trying to do. And you can, like, piss and moan all you want, but they intentionally did this, and they were trying to sexualize Misty in this episode. But he had the nice little red lines underneath his eyes, right above his nose, and in a cartoon, when you see that, I mean, gosh, we see it on Brock on almost every episode. That old man was smitten over this young little girl, and man, that was just creepy on all levels.
And I mean, if you wanted to get tacky about it, you could say, well, he was just flushed from doing all that running. But yeah, I mean, he was caught off guard by Misty.
Yeah. So he was caught off guard. Misty basically says, look, we'll help you fix this problem. And then he goes, oh, how are you gonna fix it? And Misty jumps behind Brock and was like, because she's all creeped out by this guy at this point. And she's like, I meant these guys will help fix this problem. And we can kind of jump on to the next scene, because I really don't want to say what I think was going on there, what their intentions of that part of the scene was. So we immediately go over to Team Rocket that had crashed on the beach. They don't know that they had crashed into the twerps, as they like to call it, but their Gyarados submarine is now crashed. James is laying on his back. Jesse is panting on the beach. And this is where we get introduced to Agatha. Yeah. The sexiest woman in this episode.
I hope your willy falls off for that.
Oh, stop. But yeah, it's kind of funny because you have all these people that are like over sexualized, and I swear they did this on purpose. But Agatha in this episode is just this old. I mean, I don't even want to call her old because she might be young, but this wrinkled lady that has this really raspy voice, and it's just, you know who she reminds me of, and I might get in trouble for saying this one day. looking at this woman reminds me of my ex-girlfriend's mother. She looks just like this person.
Just as short.
No, I'm not even joking. Like, I have a freeze frame on this, and that's the first thing that I thought of. I think every now and then, like, how the hell did this come out of this? Like, A plus B equals C, but they got D. I don't get it. All right, so Agatha is sitting here, and she's basically bragging about owning this island. She sees that Team Rocket's submarine has crashed, and in order to get enough money to fix the submarine, she offers Team Rocket jobs to because she needs help, and she needs help at her restaurant. And in order to get Team Rocket to pay off their stuff, they're going to work for Agatha.
Right.
So that's what happens there. And this is where we get Ash and Brock and Pikachu speaking to all the locals on the beach and in front of that guy's shop where they just wrecked the boat. And it's at this point, nobody's going over to the restaurant.
No, they're not getting any traffic. I mean, they get one couple to stop, and one girl's like, that looks like a total dive bar.
And then, yeah, and then she takes her big buff boyfriend and just walks away.
Yeah, she must have that primo.
Yeah, apparently. And you are getting on me. So we go straight from there to Team Rocket, dressed all fancy at the nice restaurant. And they start making fun of Ash and Brock, who have no business because Team Rocket at Agatha's restaurant has all the business.
Well, yeah, and they make, I think, what is it? James says something about bottom feeding clientele or something like that.
Yeah, and it just pisses off Ash, Misty, and Brock because Misty ends up walking out at this point. And yeah, so it's at this point Ash gets the bright idea of releasing Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle and Pidgeotto into the frame. And at this point, you have Pikachu and
Squirtle.
Yeah, Pikachu and Squirtle handing out flyers. You have Pidgeotto fanning the coal on the grill to make sure that the food stays hot. You have Charmander putting the fire down there underneath the grill. And then you also have Bulbasaur helping Misty inside of the, I keep calling it a bar, but it's at the diner, helping serve all the plates to all the locals. And all the locals start coming over there because there's these cute little Pokemon that are helping run the joint.
Right. Very, very wholesome.
Yes. And then just as quickly as things start going right, Team Rocket doesn't like this. So they get a fan and start blowing away all the flyers out of Squirtle and Pikachu's hands so they can no longer throw out all the or give out all these flyers. They what was it? They start pumping oil into the
grill.
Yeah, causing a big fire. And then
Meowth is standing outside the establishment and he's throwing bananas, causing Bulbasaur and Misty to slip and spill plates on the diners.
And that's when everybody is like, oh, this restaurant is the worst. And as quick as the restaurant filled up, it was just as quick as it, like everybody left.
Right.
And things just went downhill. And then you get Ash going, well, what the hell just happened here? And Brock, just being non-optimistic, just goes, everything.
Yeah, and So you have a scene of the guy sitting there, and he's like, "Well, it was going good there for a minute."
So, yeah, it went well for just a few, and he was grateful. But then we get Agatha and Team Rocket walking into the establishment, and Agatha is wanting her money. And of course, the old man hasn't garnished up enough money as of yet to be able to pay for his rent inside of the establishment. So Agatha says that she's going to give him one day to come up with all the money that he owes her. Otherwise, she is going to take his boat as the payment, and that will be his payment to her going forward. And this old man, and I don't even think we end up finding out his name in this episode, but he gets all hurt, and he's like, "No, not my boat. I don't want you to take my boat."
When did he get all down home and shit? Don't take the boat now.
Don't take my boat now. That's the only thing I got is my boat. And Team Rocket makes fun of them walking out of the establishment. And Ash starts getting all sorts of, like, mad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and this is again where we're reminded that Ash is 10, because this is where he gets, you know, more pissed off, you know, and it's like, you had to realize that they were behind the shit. You saw him at the opposite restaurant, you know, but again, it's a kid show, kid logic, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So at this point, it looks like we were about to go to commercial, but we didn't. And we go into a conversation where everybody, including the Pokemon, are still out of their Pokeball, and everyone's talking to the old man. The old man has dreams of taking his boat and traveling around the world and being able to see the world because he's a little older. So basically, he needs to garnish up this money so he can pay Agatha and basically get the hell out of this restaurant business and just go and see the world.
Correct. So they're kind of sitting around, kind of moping, talking about how are we going to make that kind of money, and
who's to show up but Professor Oak. And then right behind him is Ash's mother. And I tell you, every single time, there's Professor Oak, there's his mother. What the fuck is going on here?
All right. You need to chill. The woman is an empty nester. Her only son is out in the world fighting monsters, potentially getting killed every week. She doesn't know. He doesn't have a cell phone. He can't be video chatting her while he's trying to catch a Pidgey. You know? They clearly explain that she's with the local Palatown
Mother's
Environmentalist Club or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. And Professor Oak is just basically on vacation.
Well, I mean, who else is going to lead the group? You know, I mean.
So, but it's at this point Professor Oak has a great idea and hands Misty. I'm saying Misty, but handing everybody a flyer, basically saying, "I have an idea. You can go ahead and put on this this fashion show. It will bring in all the locals. The locals can pay to go and watch it. It'll be a big competition. There'll be a trophy, and that way you can garnish up enough money to be able to do whatever you need to with it." Because, I mean, at this point, Professor Oak and Ash's mom don't know that Ash crashed the boat.
No, and they don't find that out until they're almost done with the damn contest.
Actually, no, they don't even find that out. Ash
no, they don't.
Ash is getting ready to tell his mother in the contest, and The old man stops him because he stands up for Ash. But yeah, we'll get there. But
we can get there now. We could just get there.
No. That's skipping over the whole contest.
Oh damn.
So all right, but yeah, it's at this point they get the flyers and they give it to Pidgeotto. Pidgeotto is taking the flyers up into the sky and dropping the flyers onto all the locals. And there's this big competition that you don't want to miss, that you might want to miss. But
I wanted to miss.
Yeah, I know you did. But that you might not want to miss this. So come and watch it, and all the locals end up getting all happy. But I want to know, where did they get the money and the resources to build this big ass stage on the beach?
Well, I was under the impression that the shit was there already. Because this is not something that they came up with.
No.
Because the flyer was already there. This Pokemon beauty contest and talent show was already happening.
Yes.
It was just, hey, you know, Misty, you're a girl. You have Pokemon. You should enter this. We can objectify you. Which they do, so don't even come at me with that shit.
No, they do. But it was Misty's idea to actually go into the contest.
Oh, she's like, a trooper. She's a
yeah. Yeah, she's like, oh, I can go into this. I can help you guys out. And let's see. We go to the audience where Ash and Pikachu, his mother, Professor Oak, and the boatsman are all sitting in the audience.
I swear we found out his name. I swear.
you can look it up.
I mean, I do like the boatsman. Don't get me.
I don't know his name. I've watched this episode 3 times. And yeah, I'm sorry that I did. But I watched it 3 times. I did not catch this man's name. But
you were that excited by James, you could have just paused it once.
Shut up. I had to rewatch this episode for reasons
had
that
to. Were... Had to, did you?
Yes, I had to.
I didn't.
Yeah, I know you didn't. But it's at this point that Professor Oak actually butts in on the conversation between Ash and his mother and goes, your mother has been worried sick about you. She thinks about you all the time, and she still thinks of you as her little pumpkin out there. And Ash kind of gets embarrassed at this moment. And basically, Mrs. Ketchum doesn't really see her boy as like the most stand-up-ish boy.
Take a wild guess on this boat owner's name. I don't think you're going to hit it, but it's not like crazy.
Boatsmigger.
Oh my God. Mo.
Oh, his name is Mo.
Boatsmaker. What the? Can we be done?
we are almost done. We have 8 minutes left of this review of the episode. So
Boatsmaker. That better go in the fucking description of this episode. I'll be watching.
Well, you have a long time. I don't think you'll remember once.
Every day I'm going to text you Boatsmaker.
So, God, I can't even talk right now.
You had time to think.
Yes, I did.
And that's what you came up with. You could have said Bob. You could have said Larry. Steve.
Well, Mike. Mo is easy to remember because that's my stepfather's nickname.
Yeah. So, and you went to Boatsmaker.
Yes.
Fuck this episode, man.
I know. So, it's that, and we've already covered this part, but during this conversation, Ash's mother goes, I hope you're staying out of trouble. And Ash reminisces back to the boat accident. And just as he's getting ready to say what happened, Mo, the boatman.
fuck you, dude.
But into the conversation and talks about how good of a stand-up-ish man Ash is, and that he's been doing nothing but helping him with his business so he can travel around the world. So, all right. So here's your favorite part of the scene. And I don't know how Brock got to be the commentator for this whole thing.
Oh, but... I have a feeling he volunteered right away.
I'm sure he did. And so here's the competition. And right at the start, we have Misty walking out, and she, what was the words that she said?
She said, "This is humiliating. This is degrading, but we need the money."
Yes. So she's embarrassed being up in her bikini. And not only is this a competition for trainers, but it's for their Pokemon as well, to basically kind of dress up. And it's at this moment that we have Starmie and Ash's Squirtle dressed up as, like, I guess a spaceman.
Yeah, that's kind of I kind of took Squirtle as an astronaut, and I kind of took Starmie as the ship.
Yeah. And the Starmie's flying
spaceman.
Yeah, spaceman.
You are all over it today, aren't you?
Spaceman is a word.
It is, but astronaut's also the proper word.
Squirtle is a spaceman, just like Mo is the boatsman in this episode. Boatsmager. Okay. This is the lost episode, and hopefully people are laughing.
Hopefully people are listening to this.
Yes. So
I'm going to be rather upset if this is our least listened to episode. I'm just saying that right now.
Watch this be our number one episode. You're gonna fall on the floor.
I'll quit. I'm quitting either way. But I'll quit quicker if you're like, "Hey, guess what episodes are most downloaded? It's only been out for 2 days."
And it's gonna do nothing but climb. But yeah, Starmie is flying around the stage, and it's at this point we get the bandness of the episode. So after Misty is done on the stage, she's walking backstage, and she runs into Team Rocket, who are both in bikinis. But James is in a bikini. It looks like he went to the Halloween store and bought boobs to paste onto himself. He gave himself lipstick. And he's going to enter this contest. And he pulls the string on the boobs, and the boobs inflate, and Misty's eyes jump out of her head, basically. And James looks at Misty and goes, "Yeah, you're 10 years too young to have these." And he puts his hands on his boobs and he rubs them back and forth, and Misty just starts crying.
I mean, obviously, there's so many things that I don't understand about this scene. And I understand it's a comedy. And I understand that's what they're going for. I understand, oh, look, the man's a cross-dresser. Tee-hee, isn't that funny? But Jesse's right there.
Yes. Why couldn't Jesse... And they actually drew Jesse's cleavage. So why couldn't Jesse just be in this competition?
Right, and we're not having this problem, and we can probably air it in North America, and everybody's fine.
Yes.
But no.
And it would never be a lost episode, and we wouldn't have this big of a problem recording.
Right.
Yes.
I've decided at the end of this episode, I'm getting into it, because stuff. But not now.
Not now, but you have some things to say.
Yes.
Okay. So it's at this moment that we get Let's see. We get Team Rocket's Pokemon, and what is this Pokemon dressed up as?
Amistar. Amistar. I was going to say, I had to ask you this.
Yeah, so in the original 151 Pokemon, Amistar is not a Pokemon amongst those.
No.
Oh, wait.
He is.
Yes, he is.
No, I mean, but James does make James Brock does make mention that it's a legendary Pokemon.
Yes. So I don't know what the hell I'm thinking of. Yes, Amistar is one of the extinct Pokemon.
That's it. That's you. And I think we'll even get into that in a couple episodes.
Yes, we will. So it's at this moment that because Team Rocket's costume with the Pokemon is just, it's out there. It doesn't look right. It doesn't even look like an Amistar. And who's to come into the scene but to kick these Pokemon? I had a problem with that because didn't do anything to them. But Gary walks onto the stage and kicks these Pokemon onto the floor and knocks them out. And it's just him and his entourage on the stage. He gets on stage, makes fun of or pokes fun at Ash and goes, you know what? I'm not here to poke fun at you. I'm here to see all of my adoring fans. And then you have Brock over there counting all the beautiful women that are with him.
Yeah, Brock's having a goddamn culinary.
Yeah.
So he's just in hog heaven. The ladies do a cheer. The crowd's going wild. Ash is steaming.
Yeah, because he's like, why is Gary here? And Professor Rogue, just being a dick, goes, oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that Gary came along with us on the trip. So apparently, Gary went back to Pallet Town and decided to take a little vacation while everyone else and their mama is out there training, getting badges.
Well, I kind of took this as, well, Gary's so far ahead, he could probably afford to double back on motherfuckers.
Yeah. I mean, Gary's gangster.
Right. I mean, that's kind of we've seen that from day one. I mean, he had the whole town behind him when he showed up to get his Pokemon.
Yeah. So it's at this point that we go backstage and we see Misty, and Misty is looking from the back at Gary and basically goes, well, with those pretty women out there, I have no shot. And then we go over to Jesse and James, and James gets jealous and goes, all of those women are prettier than me. And then they get bonked on the head and dragged out. And then that's when we get Agatha on the outside saying that she knew that Team Rocket was Team Rocket and that they now have to find a way to stop this whole competition. Because if this guy has this stuff continue, he's going to gather up the money and she's not going to get her boat.
And I'm sitting here going, what do you mean? They were in their uniforms when they were on the beat.
Yes.
Like, what do you mean? You knew, of course you had eyes, didn't you?
I think anyone would have known that it was Team Rocket. There's a big ass R on their costume.
Two of them.
Yes.
What do you knew? Whatever. That's the least of our problems in this episode. So she's like, well, your submarine is fixed, you know, figure this out. So they jump in a submarine.
So, what's up?
And they go underwater through like a secret tunnel.
And then we go to Ash challenging Gary to a Pokemon battle because now he's pissed that Gary's here because Ash gets all butthurt and jealous anytime Gary is in the scene.
Right. I mean, I never really had this. I mean, I don't think. I mean, did you have a rival to the point where you were like, if this motherfucker shows up, shit's about to go down?
in a way, I won't give last names, but there was a dude named Nick that I could not I could not stand because he was fucking everywhere. And you know who I'm talking about. And this kid was everywhere, and he just irked me so much. Because he always had those, he was just like Gary. He always had these one-liners that would just piss me off. But
yeah, I could kind of see, yeah.
So you get where I'm coming from. Everyone else listening doesn't, but you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, well, the funniest part is I was kind of cool with the dude, so to have you go, I couldn't stand him. It's kind of funny to me.
Well, yeah, his family was cool with your family, right?
Well, it wasn't family. It's just I didn't really have a problem with anybody in high school.
Oh, true. Yeah, hey, don't be throwing that out there. People will listen to this and they'll be like, oh, he's talking about you. He made you famous. No.
You don't have that problem, I don't think.
So at this moment, after, because Gary doesn't want to battle Ash because he's on vacation, we get Team Rocket back in their submarine, and then they start basically going on to land and scaring all the tourists that are out there, and all the tourists go running away, and Ash immediately knows that it's Team Rocket, gets on the microphone and goes, it's a fake Gyarados. It's not real.
Yeah, I mean, he is so frustrated. You could feel that he wanted to say, for fuck's sake, it's a damn submarine.
Yeah, because he's trying to calm these people down, and he had to say at least two or three times, like, everybody, stop. It's fake. It's fake. Everybody, it's a motherfucking fake Gyarados.
So then the people at the beach finally turn around and go, what do you mean it's a fake? And the Team Rocket launches a heat-seeking missile towards the stage in an effort to blow it up.
And at this point, Ash is impressing Professor Roak and his mother, and Gary's over there just egging shit on in Ash's ear going, what are you going to do? Run away now?
And, you know, Ash is like, I'll show you, you motherfucker. And he calls out Pidgeotto and Charmander. And Pidgeotto grabs Charmander and they fly straight towards the missile. Charmander launches flamethrower at the missile, which crucially is a heat seeker. It confuses the missile. The missile turns back towards the submarine.
Yeah, how the hell did the eyes on this missile blink?
It's a kid and, show.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, kid show. And then goes and flies back at Team Rocket. And then at this point, Agatha tries to block it.
She goes, turn around! The missile's behind you! It's like, ain't no stopping it.
So at this point, the missile goes and crashes into Team Rocket, but it not only does it hit Team Rocket, but it hits Agatha, and they all go blasting off again.
Yeah, we get a nice looks like Team Rocket's blasting off again, and then we get Agatha with the punctuation mark. You go, eh.
Oh, and then the next scene we see Mo, the boatsman, Boatsmugger. Yes.
Barely in the fucking description, I swear to God.
I'm gonna piss you off and just not put it in there.
Oh boy. You'll hear about it.
Oh, I know I will. But so we have him on his boat, and he finally got enough money. Well, I don't even think he had to pay Agatha. Like this guy just skipped town because Agatha's gone.
Agatha's gone.
According to the end of this episode, she's dead.
Yeah, well, we'll find that out for about 10 seconds next week.
She was in the air for a long time.
She was off, man. I mean, it was...
but Boltzmager gets in his boat and he thanks everybody for helping him. He's going to go and live out his dream of going to see the world. Yeah. So
So and... Mo pulls off, and then we cut back to Mrs. Ketchum and Oak, and we see that Mrs. Ketchum has the trophy from the competition.
Oh, and okay, and I'm only going to bring this up because my son brought this up, and my son's 7, okay, watching this episode with me. And in this scene with Mrs. Ketchum, my son goes, she has no pants on. You could basically see her butt. I was like, Jordan, it's a swimsuit. I was like, yeah, but you could basically see her butt. So apparently, at least according to my son, I mean, I guess that's the first place. And my son's not a perverted kid. He's only 7. And the first thing he noticed was just Mrs. Ketchum's bosom. And then James' boobs in the episode. So maybe that's a good reason that they didn't air this right away.
Well, you know, probably.
But I don't know if this contest was rigged, but Mrs. Ketchum actually had the golden trophy.
Well, I'm assuming that they gave it to Misty and or Ash for, you know, saving the town. And then Ash is like, well, look, Mom, I'm not going to be able to lug this around. So you just take it home, put it on the nightstand.
Yeah. And it's at this moment that Mrs. Ketchum basically says that she's proud of her son. She's proud that he's grown up to be the man that he is right now. And then we basically cut off, and that's the end of Beauty and the Beach.
We're done?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay. So here's a skinny, because now I think, you know, we can say it, because what's in the can is in the can. We haven't had any more problems. I've been sitting on this for a week.
Yes.
I wasn't going to say anything, because I wasn't sure how this was going to turn out. It didn't start out too great, so I was really kind of gnashing my teeth. We recorded this last week.
Yes, we did.
You know, I mean, obviously, you're hearing this a few months from now, so, you know, earlier, I think you said we're recording this on October 6th. We recorded this on September 29th originally.
Yes, and then the file got corrupted.
Well, yeah, you called me, and you called me at like 10:30.
The following day.
I was like, well, I'm eating. I'll call him back when I'm getting ready to walk. Because if it's good news, it's good news. But if it's great, if it's bad news, it's going to ruin my breakfast. So I called you back, and I could tell you didn't want to tell me something. Because I didn't want to record this the first time, originally. We got on here. Well, last week was kind of a weird week, because we didn't end up starting to record until like 9:30 or whatever it was. And we didn't stop recording until like midnight. Yes. So this was the second episode last week.
And this was the episode you did not even want to touch to begin with.
I didn't want to do it to begin with, but you said, well, and it was like 11 o'clock. And you're like, well, we could do it in like an hour. I said, fine. So we did it. Got off, and then, you know, I called you back. You said, the audio sucks for Beauty and the Beach. My first thought was, well, that's a sign. It was a lost episode for a reason.
You were not going to record this episode again. You had no intentions. You were just going to skip and just go to Tentacool.
Uh-huh. I said, well, that's a sign for you. It's a lost episode. We can try again when we deal with another lost episode, when we deal with Jinx. And you said, no, we said we were going to record it.
So we got to record it.
Nobody else has recorded it. We're going to be the first.
Is that what I sound like?
It is when I'm pissed off at you.
Okay.
And it wouldn't have been like, I was thinking about this today because I knew, you know, I was waiting for that text. You know, hey, you want to record 2 episodes tonight? I was thinking about this. If something had happened to, say, the Squirtle Squad or the episode with the bug catcher, or, you know, even the Clefairy episode, that's unfortunate because it's a lost recording session, but at least, you know, obviously you have strong feelings about the Clefairy episode. But like, if we had to record the Squirtle Squad episode again, it would have sucked. But at least it's the Squirtle Squad, you know.
Yeah.
This episode was so boring, so dull.
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened. Could have skipped it.
Well, they did skip it.
The only thing you missed, and again, I mentioned it earlier, at the start of Tentacle and Tentacruel. They make mention that they're still stuck in Porta Vista because they missed the ferry. That's the only thing. And then, you know, spoilers for the end of the episode, you get a 10-second cameo from Agatha.
Yes.
That's it.
At the end of the episode.
At the end of the episode. If you blinked or if you turned the channel, you wouldn't have, well, obviously, if you turned the channel, you wouldn't have seen it, but you know what I'm saying. So I really, and you said, no, we got to do it. Fuck. I was trying everything I could to save a little bit of time. So I'll throw my hands up. Chris said he's going to save my original on this day recording.
And that's what you heard at the beginning of the show.
So if that sounds a little different, I don't know how it would, but if it does, that's why. I don't know. I'm not pointing any fingers as to, you know, because internet is internet. You know, it's good one week, it's bad another. It was also later than we should have been recording, in all fairness. But we've been really trying to nail these 2 weeks to really build that backlog. Just in case, you know, one of us has to take a week that we don't expect or whatever. So I didn't want to drop this at the beginning of the episode because I didn't know it was going to happen. And like I say, it didn't start out great. You know, once again, hands up, we did have to stop recording at one point because we were having the same issue. And you were frustrated at because at one point, Skype even quit on you.
Yeah, I was just done. I'm hotwired it too, and that's what pissed me off. So I don't know if you listened to this episode and you got through the entire episode. I mean, obviously, I'm gonna put something at the beginning of this saying it, if audio goes in and out for whatever reason, I'm sorry. We did the best that we could with this one. We kind of have a good track record so far, so not many episodes really sound like this. But yeah, this one seems to have gone over pretty well, so we will see what happens.
And I'm going to make a prediction right now. This is the last time I'm ever going to watch that episode again. If something happens with this episode, you'll never know it because you'll never hear about it again.
Nope.
I'm not going to bring it up next week.
Okay.
So this is it. There's no third strike.
But we do have an announcement that we have to make.
Oh, we have to do that again.
Yes. Yes. Sadly, it was on this episode. the announcement is the Christmas episode.
It's going to be a Digimon special.
No, nobody has time for that.
Well, I made that joke last week, and I.
So
actually, last week I said we were changing over to Digimon completely.
Yeah, no, nobody has time for that. Not at all. So on December,
somebody just got really mad. They're like, "Hey, fuck you."
So on December 26, 2020, instead of reviewing an actual Pokemon episode, we are going to drop for you a special movie episode. We're not doing Pokemon the first movie, everybody. It's going to be the 20th anniversary special that they aired a couple years ago called Pokemon I Choose You. And it's basically recapping the Pokemon Kanto series without Misty and Brock, and it gives a different twist as to what if this happened and what if this happened, because this episode of Pokemon does not follow the series at all.
Like, think back to the end of the pilot.
Yes.
Ash and Pikachu are on the ground recovering. Look up, and they see a Pokemon fly over a rainbow. Dexter magically pipes up. You know, apparently, he's worse than Siri. Because I think Ash says something about, what is that Pokemon? I think, because he has to, because something has to trigger it.
Yes.
And Dexter says something about there are numerous Pokemon that we know very little about in the universe. And that's not the quote, but it's the gist. What if Ash seriously pursued that Pokemon?
Yes. So, and that's what you're going to get out of this movie. So the movie revolves around Ho-Oh. And there's a few other extra surprises in the movie as well. And we also get a twist on the trainer that abandoned the Charmander.
Yes. I'm excited to watch this. Trailer looks really good. This will be a nice little treat for the holidays, which I cannot sit here and think about the holidays. Blows my mind that we're that far ahead. Now you mentioned something interesting earlier. I think you mentioned it last week. The movie, the first movie, Mewtwo.
Yes.
You said that falls somewhere in the 50s?
Yes.
So are we going to break? Like, once we hit that mark, is that when we're going to do the movie?
Okay. I mean, I have a few ideas when it comes to the movie, what I plan on doing as of right now, and maybe if you're on board with it. So the Pokemon movie, me and you both have agreed, is at some point when we get down there, it's going to be behind the paid wall of our Patreon.
Yes.
So that being said, on the free feed for everyone else, just a regular episode of Pokemon that we're reviewing is going to drop. So we're going to drop a regular episode, but on the Patreon, it will be the movie plus an episode that people can listen to. Otherwise, I mean, we might drop a preview that people can listen to. I'm not sure what we're going to do yet, because we still have a long ways before we get to the Mewtwo movie. But yeah, there's a few things that we're going to do, but 100% it will be behind the paid wall of our Patreon. And the only way to listen to it would be to subscribe to our Patreon, which is $5 a month, or it will be $5 a month. Right on our paid wall. And that's where you'll be able to get our full archive as well once episodes start dropping off, as I alluded to a few episodes ago.
Yeah, like you said, that's going to be a good process going forward, because if you're for some reason, if you're just jumping in now, first of all, if for some reason you said, I'm going to wait until they cover the first band episode, I am thoroughly sorry, because I was in no help to your listening pleasure. this was shit.
The next band episode is The Legend of Dratini, and then we have the famous Cyber Soldier Porygon episode, which gave all those kids seizures in Japan.
Yes, we will. We will give fair warning on that one before that one airs, because, well, I mean, you just alluded to it. You know, I think you even said something.
I'm epileptic, and I'm very open about that. And I was stupid. I mean, luckily nothing happened, but I was stupid and forgot really what happened in that episode, or didn't think that the flashing lights were really that bad. And I watched it in a dark room at around 11:30 at night. My wife was sleeping right next to me. And let me just say that the flashing lights in that episode on an HD TV woke up my wife out of her sleep.
Yeah, so, that'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're going to watch this episode, that episode along with us, I highly suggest that you watch it in a bright room. If you are epileptic or have any type of problems with seizures at all, I highly advise just listening to our review. Don't watch that episode, because I don't want to be the reason that people are watching that episode when we're reviewing it. So, yeah. All right. So if you don't have anything else to say, thank you everybody for listening to the first band episode, the special every Pokemon episode ever podcast. And we are keeping true to it. We're going over every single episode, whether it's good or bad. So say goodbye, Doug.
Goodbye, Doug.
And this is Wrestling Chris G telling all of you, I will see you next week. And hit the subscribe button, everybody, because it's Tentacruel, or Tentacool, and Tentacruel. Man, that's hard to say. Tongue tie. All right. Have a good night, everybody. Bye.